Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, glad you're with us. Yeah, we're in Helsinki. We are in Finland. Our European tour continues right on our toll-free telephone. What time is it here locally? It's 10:06 p.m. When we start Hannity tonight, it's going to be 4 a.m. Although I did tape the president right after his summit with Vladimir Putin. Anyway, write down the number. It's 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, we'll load it up. We have great guests today. We got a lot to get into. Not the least of which we'll check in with Ed Henry, Fox News, Louis Gohmert's going to join us, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, David Schoen check in, and so much more. I want to start with there is everything the president tweeted before this summit has happened. And in other words, I'm watching every single solitary anti-Trumper, and the media is portraying them as conservatives. They're all conservative. No, they're not. I'm looking at media eye. Conservatives and Republicans condemn Trump, a traitor to his country. No, the one that said that he was treasonous was the former communist Brennan, who this happened under his watch. Whatever interference, whatever meddling, it happened when he was the CIA director. That's part of his job. And before we even get started, Devin Nunes in the Washington Times in 2014 said it's going to happen. Not it might happen. It's possible it's happening. It's happening. And nobody lifted a finger. And 2 years later, 2 weeks before the election, 2.5 weeks, it was Barack Hussein Obama in October 2016 that said, "No serious person out there would suggest somehow that you could ever rig America's elections because it's so decentralized and the number of votes that are involved in this, there's no evidence that it happened in the past or instances in which it will happen this time. I'd invite Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try and make the case to get some votes." That was Obama. Now, as the president said at the press conference, I guess it was around 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 out on the West Coast. All of this came up. It's not stopping anybody. And it's really kind of almost time to start naming names. So I looked through the media eye column and I'm reading, you know, every single person on the list that they're calling a conservative is not a conservative. Every single one has been a never Trumper, a huge Trump critic. And, you know, with McCain leading the way, Lindsey Graham, you know, is up and down like a yo-yo, et cetera, et cetera. Paul Ryan, and I, you know, here's the thing, and I don't think many people will say it. These Republicans have been so pathetically weak. They have been so feckless. They have been so visionless. They have been so uninspiring. They can't keep the simplest of promises. And the only reason that there's not a massive blue wave developing, it doesn't mean it can happen. I believe you got to count the votes before anything happens, is because Donald Trump has single-handedly dragged them all kicking and screaming into keeping promises. And there is this insanity, and it's like an illness that exists in Washington and among Republicans in particular. Oh, gee, I see Bob Corker is part of it. Oh, and I could see that it basically every anti-never-Trumper is on the list. And they're critical. This is outrageous. He should have dressed down Vladimir Putin. Well, maybe he should have. I don't know. But I guess he was probably more fixated and more focused on some of the other issues that were on the table. And, you know, things like, nuclear proliferation and radical Islamic terrorism and maybe stopping Iran and helping the Syrian refugees and so on and so forth. Nobody said to him, Mr. Putin ought to have been scared to death when he said to Angela Merkel, maybe you shouldn't rely on Vladimir Putin for 70% of your country's energy needs, the lifeblood of your economy, when in fact NATO's designed to fight back against the bad actor, Vladimir, and the hostile regime that is known as Russia. And the president basically saying, well, you've got alternative sources of energy available to you, and that would be the United States of America. So the president tweeted out before this, and how right he turned out to be, said, headed to Helsinki, Finland, looking forward to meeting with President Putin tomorrow. Unfortunately, no matter how well I do at the summit, if I was given the great city of Moscow as retribution for all the sins and evils committed by Russia over the years, I would return to criticism that it wasn't good enough, that I should have gotten St. Petersburg in addition. And then he said, and I asked him about this because right after the joint presser with Putin, I asked him about it. Much of the news media is indeed the enemy of the people and all the Dems. And all they want is this is all about the obstruction of Donald Trump. This is all to tear down Trump. Now, here's the thing. For three solid years, going back to 2015, this has been their predictable MO. Waking up mortified, feigning outrage at every tweet, every action, every single solitary thing this man does and says. But something magical has happened in the interim. While they're feigning outrage, while they're now embarrassed for America because he met with Vladimir Putin, what is the option? Do you care about nuclear proliferation? Do you want Syria propped up by the Putin regime? Do you care about what's happening with Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror that is fighting proxy war after proxy war after proxy war? Innocent human beings are dying. Or is the single most important thing in your life what happened under Barack Hussein Obama and John Brennan's watch, which is interference, which is meddling? And the most important point that I think the president made at the press conference is, you know, this is an interesting question. How is it that the DNC server was never handed over to the FBI so that that could be checked out? How is it we never recovered and found the 33,000 emails about yoga and a wedding and a funeral and emails to Bill, even though Bill doesn't have an email account that obviously must have been kicked back to that server because there is no Bill email account. He doesn't email. And I want to see the server. What happened to them? Where is the same outrage over the upper echelon of the FBI trying to steal and manipulate an American election? That's all factual at this point. These same people, most of them, have been lying again and again and again to you, the people of this country. And now they want to tell you that Donald Trump isn't tough enough with Vladimir Putin. Listen, I say they all go for it. I'm not even fazed by it anymore because it's not working. The one thing that is working are the president's policies. When we now have record low unemployment in 14 states, record low unemployment. We always talk about demographics for Hispanic Americans, for women in the workplace, for African Americans. We have more jobs now available in America than we have people that are on unemployment. We have the highest labor participation rate ever in history. All of this, we have $9 billion more, trillion dollars more in revenue, whatever the number is, billion, trillions. It sounds like Obama, you know. Oh, it's irresponsible and unpatriotic. So we now have all of this happening. It's not happening in a vacuum. And I'm watching all of these Republicans, and I'm thinking, none of them have the ability to lead anything. The Senate couldn't even repeal and replace Obamacare. Seven senators voted in 2015 to repeal Obamacare, only to change their votes when it would have mattered 2 years later. John McCain seemingly, broke his promise to the people of Arizona to be the deciding vote in the Senate on Obamacare. You got the biggest tax cuts in history. You've got literally the destruction of ISIS, which hadn't happened previously. You have promise after promise kept. You got America now on a path towards energy independence. You've got more regulations that have been removed, the biggest tax cuts in American history. You've got companies giving out record amounts of bonuses, record amounts of pay raises as a result of the president being in office. But none of that matters. The only thing that either the Destroy Trump media, the Democratic Party, or frankly, Never Trump, weak, pathetic, visionless, feckless, spineless Republicans, the only thing they seem to care about in life is being loved. They want to be liked. They want to be a part of the group. They echo each other. And as I, John Brennan calling it treason. Really? How did that guy support the Communist Party and then become the director of the CIA? And he has the nerve to speak out about meddling in 2016. It happened in 2008. It happened in 2012. We were warned in 2014. It all happened on his watch. And to basically say it's Donald Trump's fault, as if Donald Trump wasn't able to solve the mess that they all created, that Barack Obama said could not happen. The very same people. And I'd like to know what their involvement is ultimately in the unmasking of the American people, of the surveillance, illegal surveillance on the FISA warrants. Who was involved in fixing Hillary Clinton's crime so that she didn't get indicted like everybody else got indicted? At what point does that not factor into their twisted, pathological hatred of this president? The only thing I can say is I've just learned too much. I've seen what this is for 3 years. I knew when the president tweeted it out, that was going to be the reaction. Because in their minds, this is the justification for the great, big, fat lie that they've all, in many ways, believed in. They have all pushed. There's no evidence of. That's boomerang back on them. And so they need to somehow justify all the garbage that they have fed the American people rather than admit they're wrong, which I don't think will ever happen because they're incapable of it. And I would just say none of it matters. What matters is what we, the people, do this November. What's going to matter is what we, the people, do in 2020. All the noise has not stopped the president up to this point. I don't think it's going to stop now. I think one of the best things that happened today, though, Putin saying, well, I invite Comrade Mueller, Vladimir, inviting Mueller to Russia for vodka. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. I'd say Mueller ought to go. And maybe Obama can answer for why he tried to influence an election in Israel while we're at it, and try and unseat Benjamin Netanyahu, our closest ally in the Middle East, and nobody in the media really cared about that either. Pretty amazing times. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, we are in Helsinki. We are in Finland. So a little story came out on me that made the biggest newspaper, page one, second top headline. And so apparently it's not accustomed to tip in Finland. I'm like, I don't care about tipping in Finland or not tipping in Finland. I need a, oh, there's my clock right there. And so anyway, so I'm thinking, I don't not tip in New York. I don't not tip whenever I go out anywhere else. So I'm like, I'm not, I used to be a dishwasher. You know the whole litany. I know people say, I'm sick of hearing your stupid job list. I actually once cleaned buses. I realized I forgot to tell that I clean the interior of buses, like Greyhound buses, you know, dump the toilets, all that. And by the way, people are slobs when they get on buses. Total slobs. So it becomes a big deal that I go to a restaurant, and we always go, I got the radio team, I got the TV team, we take everybody, we don't like to exclude anybody, and so we take everybody out, we go to this restaurant. It was a really good restaurant. They actually served reindeer tatar, basically raw Rudolph is what I was calling it. Well, what? Put your mic on. What? That's what it is.
Say, children are listening. It's 3 o'clock in
okay.
the afternoon.
They serve reindeer. It's okay. a staple here.
Listen, if you start talking about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, you're going off the air in Finland.
Santa Claus?
You right
are you going to put me off the air in Finland?
It was Sarah Carter, first of all.
Oh, here we go. Sweet baby James, help me out here.
Who had the cojones to
try
eat the reindeer.
Yeah, she ate Rudolph, except hers was cooked. It wasn't ta-da.
Don't act
was
like
it
you
raw.
Did it. It was medium rare, and it was delicious.
So I left my usual tip, which I try to be generous, and it was huge news in Helsinki. And, like, you know, what were you saying?
You were on the front page of the biggest paper here in Helsinki.
Yeah.
And I was saying that he became the ambassador of Helsinki in that moment.
Wow. All right, we'll take a break. Don't listen to your fake news media. Let their feigned outrage speak for itself. We're moving forward. I'll explain when we get back. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. We're in Helsinki, and we are in Finland. By the way, beautiful country. I've had a great time here, a great time on the trip, great time going amongst the protesters down in London. Pretty crazy. Everybody said I was insane to do that, but you know what? Why am I going to live my life in fear? No, I'm actually pretty good at handling myself, so I'm not worried. Could have gotten out of control. Little ninja. I'd rather not use it. Rather be a peaceful person. Let me go back to where we are here. Because I'm watching the Paul Ryans of the world, and how do I say this in a nice way except to just be blunt? Paul Ryan is a weak Republican. Paul Ryan has, for all the years, and I actually like him personally. When you meet him, he's a lovely guy. But the reality is that when push came to shove, Paul Ryan is not, like during the healthcare debate, where was Musgrave and Goodman and patient power and health savings accounts and healthcare cooperatives? We spent all this time. I've spent nearly 15, 18, 20 years of my life talking about the Cato Institute, healthcare savings accounts. Nobody proposed that. Nobody. The swamp doesn't do that. And all the Never Trumpers, they want to all, most of them, be liked. But they say, oh, Hannity, you're in the tank for Donald Trump. I'm in the tank. I like what he's doing. I care about the forgotten men and women that are now benefiting under his policies. I like the fact that he's been to 21 countries in 18 months. I love the fact that, you know what, he's dealing with issues. Yeah, obviously what the president learned, and he's looking at the larger geopolitical picture here, is that this was a huge issue and divide between Russia and the United States. In other words, everything that's been said. Now, do I think Russia did it? Of course I do. Do I think we do it to Russia? I hope we are. We better be. If we're not doing it, we're pretty stupid. You know, everyone feigns outrage over election interference. Nobody seemed to care that Barack Obama tried to defeat Prime Minister Netanyahu and even used some of your tax dollars to do it and sent his entire political operation over there to do it. You know, the same people feigning outrage, where is their outrage? Where are they? Said, why did the FBI allow an outside entity to examine the DNC servers? You know, why is it we never got the 33,000 emails? I want to see the server like the president said. Where's the same outrage from Republicans over the conduct of Comey and Strzok and Page and McCabe and company? the tarmac meeting and whoever else was involved. We may have 40 people, as many as 40 people involved before this is all said and done. And that they tried to rig an election. I understand they've been missing in action, almost every one of these people. There's been maybe, you know, 15 of us that have been proven right again and again and again. And they're still pushing the Russia-Trump collusion narrative. They had no relationship. And even Trump himself, the single exculpatory bit of evidence comes from James Comey. In his own notes, Trump said to me that I'm not involved in any collusion, but if anybody around me was, I want you to go after them. That sounds pretty exculpatory to me. And they turn it into obstruction. Then they go after Paul Manafort for a 2005 tax case that has nothing to do with Russia. And then we have General Flynn that is, you know, signs a paper because he has to sell his house because he's bankrupt and he can't afford to fight back. So after 30 some odd years of serving your country, what do you get? You get two FBI, the FBI director, the FBI guy that interviewed him saying he didn't lie to the FBI, and he has to sign a paper that says he lied to the FBI because he couldn't afford to fight anymore after he mortgaged his house and sold his house. You know, that's the justice system in America. Okay, they got, you know, 12 Russians involved. No doubt they were hacking. Zero. No doubt Putin's a bad actor. No doubt that Russia is a hostile regime. None. But what about the fact that even Comey and Strzok in the first draft of the exoneration before they investigated talked about six foreign hostile regimes that had hacked into Hillary's server that got top secret classified information on that? That means they hacked into her. That means they have all our information that they stole. Now, I'm just guessing. If I had to guess, that would be North Korea. That would be Russia, China, Iran. I'm just guessing. Maybe even a few more countries that we don't know about. And it's all a matter of this is now a new addiction beyond Washington wanting to be liked and to be loved. They want to be loved. They're in this circle. This is a social circle. This is the dirty little secret about D.C. You know, you've got the congressmen that never want to take chances in their careers. Donald Trump lives on the edge of his presidency every single day because he wants to fight and keep the promises he made to you. And somehow they're trying to say, well, he's a puppet of Putin. I mean, but all of these other things they ignore. This is all a lie. The Never Trumpers, they have been dying to prove that they were right about Trump. So this is a chance for them to jump back in. And all of the Democrats, they hate him anyway. What is their vision for America? I don't, you know, what I see 2018, impeach Trump, open borders, keep Obamacare, take back the crumbs, and don't let Kavanaugh be the next Supreme Court justice. Interference? Okay, let's find out about interference. But at the expense of nuclear proliferation, at the expense of what, stopping Iran from getting nukes and supporting this hostile regime that is fomenting terror, biggest state sponsor of terror, fighting proxy war after proxy war, literally propping up Syria and Assad that gases his own people. And, you know, let's forget about all radical Islamic extremism, which, by the way, is an area where you can agree with Putin. Just forget about all of it. So what you saw today and what you're seeing in the media and what you'll see for, it'll go on and on as long as they can get, you know, just squeeze every last little anti-Trump drop that they can get from this. But they'll never tell you what he did for the economy. They'll never tell you about all his successes. They'll never tell you about the regulations he got rid of. They'll never tell you about that he got us on a path towards energy independence, which, by the way, could help Angela Merkel and all of Western Europe and keep, you know, and bankrupt Vladimir Putin. They'll forget all about that. You know, we know in 2008 that Russia hacked into both to the McCain campaign. It's a fact. We know that, by the way, even the presidential campaign of the anointed one, Barack Obama. And despite all of this, you know, Hillary had a firm lead. And remember, there was, you know, no serious person out there would ever suggest that somehow you could even rig America's elections. This is 2 weeks before 2016. Because it's so decentralized and the number of votes that are involved, no evidence that's happened in the past. That's total bull. And no evidence that there's or instance that will happen this time. I suggest and invite Mr. Trump to stop whining and go and try and make the case to get votes, which he did, and he won. The only reason Obama said that on October 18, 2016 was because at that moment in time, he thought Hillary was going to be the next president of the United States, and we wouldn't have known anything about the corruption, the fact that they tried to rig a presidential election. They saved her, and they did everything in their power to destroy Donald Trump. For 3 years, the news media has been pushing and selling this fake, phony, fraudulent narrative about Trump and Russia without a single shred of evidence. And besides Putin saying today it's nonsensical, and besides the fact that it's created great tensions between, obviously, Russia and the United States. Now, you might say, Hannity, why are you sticking? I don't give a flying rip about Russia, but they are the second biggest nuclear power on Earth. And if I have a choice of whether I can work with Russia and work on some issues that are kind of important, like nuclear proliferation, radical Islamic terrorism. Remember, the president said today, we helped Russia stop a St. Petersburg attack. Maybe if we could stop Putin from helping Iran and propping up Assad in Syria, maybe hundreds of thousands of lives potentially could be saved. Let's not focus on any of that. None of it. You know, Donald Trump, they wake up every day, never Trumpers, the left wing, the media in this country. They all wake up and they all look for what they're going to hate and be outraged about every single solitary day. It has become pathological, borderline psychotic. And for the Democrats and the media right now, what do they see? They see the greatest economic success nobody ever thought could happen in a little over 500 days. They see Donald Trump's popularity soaring. They see the blue wave, tidal wave receding. And they see their chances of impeaching him, you know, literally diminishing every day. They see Robert Mueller's witch hunt going nowhere with no evidence after 18 months of selling and selling and selling and selling and selling. And so now they're just trying to grasp on to anything they can to destroy the president. You know, after nearly a decade of this country downplaying what Russia has done. All of this, by the way, on Brennan's watch, treasonous. All of this on Obama's watch, Hillary's watch as Secretary of State 4 years. You want Russia collusion? You want Russia interference in the election? She paid for Russian lies with funneled money through a law firm into an op research firm, hiring a foreign national to put together Russian lies. And guess what? They all fed you Russian lies, the American people, in the hopes that it would help get her elected. That's a fact at this point. That's not in dispute at this point. And I don't have any doubts that Putin is a bad actor and Russia's a hostile regime, nor do I think Donald Trump doesn't see that either. But at the end of the day, you know, what do we want for our kids and grandkids? If you can kind of work together and maybe save the refugees in Syria, and maybe tone down some of the hostility, and maybe work on some of the issues that I mentioned, maybe we'll be better off as a world. But that, forget it. You know, it's impacting. The left is in a total, complete, utter mental breakdown. Never Trumpers are in a meltdown. They can't admit they've been wrong. There's something about the human ego that's incapable of ever wanting to admit it's wrong and saying the words, I'm sorry, and saying that, maybe this guy isn't as crazy as we thought. And look at these good things. I don't think they're happening by accident. By all accounts, today's meeting was productive. It was important. Every issue was on the table. Even before it took place, they predicted failure. So there was no way the president could win. Even if he said, if they gave me Moscow, they'd still hate it. Why didn't you get St. Petersburg? I'm convinced if he cured cancer at this point, never Trumpers, the media, corrupt Democrats, they would still hate him. If he gave every American $10 million, why didn't you give us 20? It doesn't matter. If he adopted every left-wing agenda item as his own, they would hate him. And I know that they're all trying to convince you, but I'm going to predict what's going to happen. Nothing. You know what's going to happen? It's going to die like every other lie they've told. And you know what they're going to do next? They're going to go on to the next lie, and then the next lie, and then the next outrage, and then the next bit of hysteria, and then the next bit of propaganda. You know what they are? They're a bunch of liars, propagandists. They misinform the American people, and they're all agenda-driven. And they all speak with one voice. You notice there's maybe, you know, I can think of really 20 people, you know, Sarah Carter, Gorka, Greg Jarrett. I can't even begin. Sidney Powell. I can go through the list. David Schoen. There's a list that have seen this for what it is from the beginning. And we've actually been able to prove the boomerang is true and that they are guilty of all these things to literally steal an American election. And that's all ignored by your corrupt media and by the Democratic Party and by weak Republicans and by never Trumpers and only kicking and screaming to have these people even try to cover some of this. So I know it's some of you watching and saying, wow, you can't believe it. Yeah, believe it. It's been 3 years of this. And you know what's happening to the media? Their credibility is dying. It is literally a transformation. You know, there are two instances in the last few weeks. Hannity is the number one show in all of television. ABC, CBS, and NBC. Yeah, beating them too. I even beat The Bachelorette twice. Not once, twice. And they just think, we're crazy. No, we want the country to do well. We care about the forgotten men and women. We like economic prosperity. We want peace for our kids and grandkids. We want to live in a nice neighborhood, safe car, send our kids to school, take them to Disney when they're six or seven, maybe a vacation a year, maybe out to dinner once every 2 weeks. That's it. We work hard, play by the rules, obey the laws, pay the taxes, take more crap from these idiot Republicans and Democrats in Washington. And then we got to listen to media lies and media agendas and propaganda. You know what? It's just not working. I'm not fazed by it or surprised by it at all. Anyway, the president will speak for himself. He's on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern from Helsinki. We'll be back in New York tomorrow. Hey,
just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know, where is the server, and what is the server saying? With that being said, all I can do is ask the question.
All right, as we continue, that was the president at the joint press conference. Immediately thereafter, I had a chance to sit down with the president. We will have the full interview tonight. Hannity, we're in Helsinki, by the way, and our number remains the same. It's 800-941-SEAN. All right, I got to take one call, and then we're going to get to Sarah Carter. All right, so Stephen is in Kentucky, apparently he's mad at me, and I just got to find out why. Stephen, why are you mad at me? You lived in Finland.
I'm not mad at you all.
Oh, okay. It says something
I lived in Finland for 20 years, and you don't tip the people, that's for sure.
You don't what? Tip people?
Yeah, you don't tip people, especially at the restaurants.
Why?
Because the gratuity is already in there. It's something like 15%. It could be all the way up to 20%. And usually when people start throwing out the money and stuff like that, it means that people are usually drunk by then. So
okay, I was not intoxicated, number one. Number two, I always do it. And number three, I just like to be nice to people because I've done that job and it's hard. And let me tell you one thing that's not happening. Cooks, dishwashers, busboys, waiters, and bartenders are not getting rich. You know what? Most of them that I know are struggling. So, yeah, if I could be nice and after, you know, having worked in that line of work for such a long period of time, I just think it's the right thing to do. That's why I do it. Anyway, Sarah Carter's with us in Helsinki. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You nearly blew out our entire system. So the world knows the only reason we're on the air is because Linda just ran 15 miles in each direction because you blew a fuse by plugging in your phone. That's how good the power system here is in Helsinki.
I feel horrible. Linda was panting. She was going up and down flights of stairs. I've never seen anybody. I mean, the best person in the world is Linda.
Oh, if you think this was something, you should have been.
I'm so sorry. You should have been
in London on day one when an hour and a half before airtime, we decided to pack up all the equipment and go to another hotel, which ended up being like the biggest sex hotel in all of Great Britain. Because, well, you were in that. I mean, it was like the darkest. It had disco balls in the hall, and it was right in the heart of London in Piccadilly Square, whatever they call this place. And it's the W. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face in the halls. You get off the elevator, there were 100 disco balls. And then you go in the room, and they had like sex kits and naked women on plates in the room we're broadcasting from.
It was very hard to concentrate.
Okay. By the way, the plates were in the other room, so nice try. Look, you know, I'm just watching everything that's unfolding, and I watched all of what happened here. You have been in the forefront. Frankly, you deserve a Pulitzer, because I love the president's answer when he said, yeah, where are the servers? How did the FBI not get the servers? I want to see the servers. Why didn't they not take the server? And then, of course, you know, treasonous is the comment by John Brennan. We still haven't seen Hillary's emails. There's such a double standard, and I have zero doubt. Nobody cared when Bibi Netanyahu's election was, you know, Obama tried to impact that election. And here we are with the same predictable group of people, Democrats, weak Republicans, never Trumpers, and the media feigning moral outrage that the president didn't dress down Vladimir Putin in public. We don't know what went on behind the scenes because he would rather talk about nuclear proliferation, radical Islamic terrorism, and Syria and the refugee crisis and Iran and the relationship with Putin and Iran and Syria, and that it wasn't his top priority to say, I want to know if you meddled in our election, like we have not tried to meddle in other countries' elections.
Like he doesn't already know that they did meddle in our elections. He already knows this.
Everybody knows it.
Look. The media should be asking the same questions that the president asked if they really wanted to know the truth about what happened. And if we look at the DNC, for example, and the server, why hasn't anyone been asking about who the Awan brothers really are? I mean, we've got one reporter on that, and that's Luke Rosiak. Luke Rosiak with the Daily Caller broke the majority of those stories, and very few people are asking. And those people are apparently connected to Pakistan's Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, ISI, which, by the way, Pakistan is closely connected to Russia.
How many countries hacked into Hillary's email server, and where is the same moral outrage?
That's right. And multiple enemy states, they believed, hacked into Hillary Clinton's unsecured junior varsity put together email server that was sitting there openly with classified information on it. And she was never charged. She was never challenged. And in fact, she was allowed to walk scot-free with people like Peter Strzok, who the president brought up again. And we've seen his attitude and the way he lied in front of Congress. Lisa Page, Comey, Andrew McCabe, former deputy director of the FBI. And then of all people, former CIA director John Brennan comes out today on a
called it treasonous.
Well, I've got to tell you, there have been a number of retired and current intelligence officers that have said his actions are bordering sedition.
Listen, first of all, it all happened on his watch.
That's right.
It didn't happen on Trump's watch. You know, I will tell you, I don't know exactly at what point all of the feigned outrage. I'll tell you what's happening. For 3 years, I'll give you an example. the fake news media has gone with the anti-Trump, feigned moral outrage every single day, every tweet, every this, every that. You know, as Trump said, even if he got Moscow as retribution for all of the sins of Putin, who is a bad actor? They are a hostile regime. But by the way, so are a lot of these countries are hostile regimes. We live in a dark, evil world, and that's the nature of the United States of America. But the point is, it doesn't matter anymore when Hannity, the TV show, can beat every major news network on any big news night, every network, every cable, beat all these cable networks combined. I just began to realize it's not working. It's all the American people see through it. They see the agenda. They're sick of it, but they have seen the truth on stories that you've broken and how the FBI did try to the upper echelon, not rank and file, that they did literally rig an investigation into Hillary and tried to set up Donald Trump 1,000 different ways and tried to destroy him, or to quote Peter Strzok, we will stop him with an insurance policy and every other thing that has gone on.
Try to impeach a duly elected president by using intelligence tactics, by the way, which are utilized on our enemy state. They were being utilized in the United
States
of America.
Against the American people.
Against an American president and against the American people.
The tools of intelligence were turned, the powerful tools of intelligence were turned on the American people. And by the way, we still have to get back to that surveillance unmasking story.
That's right. The weaponization of our law enforcement and intelligence agencies is one of the biggest stories that is not being investigated, that is not being told. And I remember when Trey Gowdy, who, by the way, I have a huge bone to pick with today because he failed. He backed away from Chairman Meadows and others who are requesting, who have put out there that they want to impeach Rod Rosenstein. They want to do this because he has failed to turn over documentation. And at the last second, Gowdy once again,
you know,
does what he does
though,
best.
Do you agree with me that there's something about the same group of people, the Never Trumpers, weak Republicans? By the way, weak Republicans, they would be so knocked on their ass this November were it not for Trump. They'd be done. And Donald Trump is literally carrying them into an opportunity to actually hold on to power, not because of them, in spite of them. And it's the same media. It's the same Democratic Party, the same people that have hated him from day one.
Sean, why did they not do the same thing to President Obama when President Obama's foreign policy was filled with failures, when he drew the red line in Syria and then turned everything over to the Russians? And then again, during the Arab Spring, failed in Libya, failed in Syria, failed across the globe. His policy to lead from behind set the United States foreign policy back, I would say decades. Mm-hmm. I would say decades. But they didn't hold Obama accountable the way they're holding Trump accountable. And they did a gotcha on him. They waited. As soon as he was up there speaking with Putin, the first thing they did was go after him, put him in a gotcha moment, because they knew on this geopolitical scale that President Trump was going to be diplomatic, that he wasn't going to go after Vladimir Putin in front of the entire world.
Why do you think that Rod Rosenstein announced all of these indictments on the eve of the Trump-Putin summit? Because, well, by the way, the media is claiming that Trump is siding with Putin over the intel community. No, Trump has seen that the upper echelons of the intel community under Obama and the upper echelons of the FBI screwed him and tried to rig an election and steal a presidential election from the people.
Well, it absolutely appears that Rod Rosenstein did this to work against this bilateral summit against President Trump and wanted to put him in a very difficult position. But even his indictment itself says that the vote was not changed and that no Americans were involved. So he's got 12 Russian military intelligence operatives that will never be extradited from Russia sitting on an indictment. Imagine if another country, and it's happened before, said, you know, we want you to extradite your CIA officers and bring them back to Pakistan, to Russia, to Jordan, to wherever, to face charges in our country. It would never happen, ever. So this joke.
Let me just say this. It is, at this point in time, the biggest corruption abuse of power scandal ever. How funny was it that Putin is offering to cooperate with Mueller?
I think it's great.
I say bring it on.
Absolutely.
I think Mueller should go to see Vladimir. They should bring the 12 people in. I think that, and similarly, I think that Putin, but let's put it all on the table and clean up the mess.
Yeah, let's have a sit down. He put
maybe
the
we can
in,
then talk about Syria and Iran and nuclear proliferation and radical
Crimea.
Islamic terrorism and Crimea. Yeah,
absolutely. Which are topics that are so important, and especially to the people out here in the Baltic states. I mean, when we're out here, Sean, the people that I've spoken to on the streets, the people here in Helsinki, they're not negative on this summit whatsoever. They want to see talk. They want to see progress. They want the American people to understand what it is they are going through. And they are proud that this summit took place here. Right across the Baltic Sea is Estonia, right on the
all
border.
Right. Stay right there. When we come back, we're going to continue. Sarah Carter's with us in Helsinki. 800-941-SHAWN is on number. David Schoen and Greg Jarrett will get their perception back in the States and find out where their thinking is on this. Be with the president tonight right after his press conference that the media is having a meltdown over, and Democrats and weak Republicans. Sarah Carter is with us. Greg Jarrett and David Schoen back in New York. Greg's book is now about a little over a week out. We can't wait. Mr. Jarrett, what's your perception based on the media reaction and hysteria?
Well, it's actually typified by former CIA Director John Brennan. I tweeted out a short time ago that, you know, whenever Brennan opens his mouth or he tweets something, he removes all doubt about his ignorance. This is a guy who knows nothing about treason. It's a little frightening since he was a former CIA director. He was just a, you know, a Hillary Clinton sycophant and the instigator of the anti-Trump dossier, peddling it to anybody who would take a look at it, including members of Congress and members of the media. So he was the great instigator of the Russia hoax. The fact is, you know, we're not at war with Russia, so treason doesn't apply. The law on treason is very specific. Just look it up, 18 U.S.C. 2381.
Didn't this all happen on his watch? Didn't this
sure.
all happen under him? Wasn't he in charge of preventing this? And didn't Obama say 2 weeks before the election, this could never happen in our country? It never has. Never. When we knew it happened. This is just a crock. They're just lying.
All of these people, Brennan and Obama and Clapper, they were all asleep at the switch. And there is something important to note here with this recent indictment of the 12 Russians. The hacking of the DNC and the Clinton campaign only shows you how incredibly reckless and foolish it was for Hillary Clinton to have used this unsecured, unauthorized private server for all of her business as Secretary of State. This is why what she did is a crime. She jeopardized national security. She broke the law.
Yeah,
the Russians.
Just stop right there, because this is why this is total bull. Every reaction by the media, by Never Trumpers, by weak Republicans, and by Democrats, because none of them gave a flying beep at all. All right, stay right there. Greg Jarrett's book, by the way, exposes all of this, and this feigned moral outrage is exposed. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Helsinki, Finland, that's where we are. Donald Trump on tonight. You know, some people have been writing me and they're saying, you're not as angry and as outraged as I want you to be over the media and their outrage and their what they're saying about the president. You're not as outraged. Look at Paul Ryan and look at all these rhinos. And all these guys that were never Trumpers and all these guys that really only some reluctantly because they were brought kicking and screaming and the media is corrupt. It doesn't surprise me. Now, Putin did an offer to cooperate with the Mueller probe. That's kind of an original, stunning. I'm going to ask the president about this tonight. Where do you hear his answer? That he's willing to cooperate with Mueller's Russiagate probe. I say, Robert Mueller, get your ass on a plane. Take, you know, Andrew Weissman, your pit bull with you. Take your team of Democratic donors and go to Russia and go talk to Vladimir. He'll cooperate. Go interview the 12 people. Go interview them. He offered to let you do it, and I'm all in favor of it because maybe we'll get to the truth. and then maybe we can focus on, like, important things. Radical Islamic terrorism, the refugee crisis in Syria, Putin supporting and propping up that corrupt regime of mullahs that Obama dropped $150 billion on their tarmac. They can talk about those things. Maybe we'll move there. You know, maybe we should ask Putin whether Russia colluded with Hillary, considering Hillary bought and paid for Russian lies and perpetrated those lies on the American people before the election. John Brennan, apparently he was, you know, sending us information out all over the place, Harry Reid and elsewhere. So maybe let's bring him in, too. Media claiming Trump is siding with Putin over U.S. intelligence. No, the president rightly is saying, what happened to the deleted server? What happened to Hillary's 33,000 emails? And why is there such a double standard? I don't blame him for being sick and tired of this whole thing. You know, Brennan, treasonous? Really? It happened on his watch. He was the CIA director at the time. Really? Who's responsible for all the surveillance and unmasking? Anyway, the DNC chair stonewalled on why they won't let the FBI examine the servers that Russia supposedly hacked. Why won't they allow it? Do they still exist? Because Tom Perez was apparently on fake news CNN, and after 2 years of stonewalling, has the DNC allowed the FBI to finally examine those servers that it claims were hacked by the Russians? I say let them do it. I want the truth. I think Putin's a hostile actor, and it's a hostile regime. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. But you know what? It's a dangerous, evil world, and you know what? We've got to think geopolitically sometimes. Anyway, David Schoen, civil liberties and criminal defense attorney. Greg Jarrett's book is out 1 week from next Monday. It's out, The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme. What is it called again? To Help Hillary and...
The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. It's out a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. I am so excited. Very excited. 1 week. It finally got here. Sarah Carter's with us in Helsinki. Let me go to David Schoen, who I have not brought in yet at this point. David, I want you just, what's your general reaction? What about the double standard? What about the predictable people? What are your thoughts?
Right. I want to give you an observation and then touch on those points you raised. Here's the observation first. And by the way, I wouldn't be so quick to send Mueller and Weissman over there because I wouldn't trust them to convey what they actually heard, depending on what that was. But in any event,
Putin will tape them.
Right. If someone were to come to me in a vacuum and say, we want to see whether there's been collusion between a president of this country and a president of Russia, the most direct piece of evidence that I could find, I think, to support such a theory in terms of eliciting Russian support for elections and so on, would be a 2012 hot mic conversation that President Obama had with President Medvedev, in which he said to him, you can be assured, Mr. President Medvedev, we'll have greater flexibility.
Can I help you? It went like this. It went,
this is my last election. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility. I transmit this information to the legislature.
Right, so that's direct
evidence.
That's
a great point.
That's direct evidence. That's not circumstantial. That's not indirect. That's not something I need 13 people with an agenda to help me find. That's number one observation. But double standard. Look, here's the theme. If Trump is for it, I'm against it. That's the double standard. Give you two quick examples. Don't talk to Russia, Senator Schumer and others are telling us. He's a bad man, etc. President Obama was the master of that. Outreach to our enemies, but not just outreach to hope to make inroads. It was destabilizing, most unstable area in the world, and it was all at the expense of our allies. I'm talking about soliciting meetings with people whose countries commit summary of executions day in, day out. Let me give you the other double standard. There are many, many examples. You just saw it last week, Strzok hearing. Forget about maybe missed opportunities by the Republicans. Think about the Democrats. Congressman Nadler, Jackson Lee, Lofgren, all of these people hold themselves out as civil libertarians, first ones to speak up about government misconduct. Now, all of a sudden, government misconduct of the most horrific nature, absolute lies, perversion of an office, doesn't matter. He deserves an honor. He deserves a Purple Heart. How dare people malign this man, thank him for his service to the country. I've never seen a double standard like that. And the last point I want to make is, because Sarah Carter is on fire, when you get back to her, Greg does a fine job, is the interference with elections. That's what we're showing outrage in. That has been a staple of American foreign policy, to do our best to affect other countries' elections within what we consider to be our sphere of influence from time immemorial. Imagine if you were to conduct an investigation into the Obama administration's interference with the Israeli election to get Netanyahu out of office. Again, you wouldn't need a team of 13 biased with an agenda. You'd need one person because he put money into it, he put personnel into it. It was an open interference, and we do it with countries all around the world. I'm not saying for a second that justifies Russian interference. I am saying part of this double standard.
Let me go back to Sarah Carter. I mean, honestly, I don't say this lightly. You, Greg, David, so many others, I think, deserve Pulitzer Prizes for everything that you've done, and everything we've said has come true. But, I mean, David makes great points. Greg does. And it's like there's a group of like 15 of us that understand all this.
Well, and I think one of the biggest points that we need to make right here and now, and I mean, David Schoen and Greg were just incredible right now. But think about all the time that former Obama administration officials utilize to take down the in an attempt to try to take down the president of the United States and the policies that this administration, that the American people want put in place. How much time they spend doing that? They don't do that with Vladimir Putin. They don't do that with other people. They spend all of their time on Twitter, on social media, in and on, you know, the mainstream networks, just bad-mouthing their own country, their president, the administration, and the American people. They spend the majority of their time putting us down, calling us smelly if you voted for President Trump, making fun of Walmart. I mean, what kind of people are these?
No. We're bitter, smelly Walmart people that cling to our God, guns, Bibles, religion. And, oh, by the way, we're irredeemable, deplorable human beings. That's what they think.
And
the president, by the way, the president just tweeted out, as I said today and many times before, quote, I have great confidence in my intelligence people, my being in big letters. However, I also recognize that in order to build a brighter future, we cannot exclusively focus on the past. As the world's two largest nuclear powers, it's better if we get along. Hashtag Helsinki 2018. Let me go back to Greg Jarrett on this. Yeah, I think the big picture is more important, but the double standard is just, I'm not. There's zero outrage on my part at how they all align the same way. Zero, Greg, because this is who they are. They are liars and hypocrites. And at the heart of it all, Sarah was making, this is what people like Brennan have done. And by the way, there's a certain amount of it that I support. You know, they have to deceive. They have to lie. It's part, right. But not against the American people. That's the difference here.
Well, you know, the CIA director is supposed to be nonpartisan. This was the most partisan CIA director in the history of America, John Brennan. And, you know, if you don't think for one moment that he was telling Obama every move that the FBI was making in the investigation of Trump, then you're smoking something. And where's the outrage over, you know, Hillary Clinton's classified documents that the Russians surely hacked in her private account? If the Russians hacked her campaign, according to the indictment on Friday, well, of course they hacked her private server. They likely gained access to all 110 classified documents on her account. But so where's the outrage that she did that? Where's the outrage that Barack Obama goes on television 2 months before she's cleared and essentially instructs the FBI not to indict her? He said, oh, she was only careless. She didn't intend to jeopardize national security. If Trump had made a statement like that, he'd be accused of obstruction of justice. Obama makes that statement, of course, and Director Comey and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page follow his orders to the letter. They substituted grossly negligent, which is a crime, and they used Obama's term carelessness.
By the way, I just got a Mediaite headline. Hannity trashes weak, pathetic, visionless, feckless, spineless Republicans. Yeah, I do all the time. They suck. They wouldn't get elected dog catcher. The only reason they got a shot in this election is because Trump is carrying them on their back in spite of themselves, David Schoen. And you're not even right. You're not a Republican either.
Nothing. I'm just an American voter and an interested citizen, which, by the way, I wanted to say this earlier, is why I believe you do an unbelievable service to the country with these one-on-ones with the president. People should be glued to the television set for these things. It's an insight into the most inner workings. He's comfortable with you, and he speaks openly and candidly. And with any other president, these would be people would be glued to, they'd be raving about these things. Now it's all about the close relationship between you and the president. Thank God for it, frankly. But anyway, back to the other subject. Look, Sarah mentioned it before about Trey Gowdy. There's a problem there. I understand he's a former prosecutor, but when he made those comments earlier that for the president to challenge the integrity of the Mueller's investigation is like a person acting guilty, that's contrary to everything we believe in our justice system. The Supreme Court and every other body has said we must always investigate the investigators, challenge the investigation. It has to be more than above board, and especially when we're investigating the president of the United States. That's not acting guilty. That's making the system work. And thank God that your show and very few others have been calling and taking them to task all along in the Mueller investigation. When you identify a person like an Andrew Weissman with a record of unethical behavior day in and day out over 20, 25 years, that's a big problem. Again, Mr. Mueller picked his team knowing the agenda. There was a whole universe of lawyers available out there. He only picked people with one agenda. No one can have any confidence in the integrity of that investigation, period.
Sarah?
I agree with David. I mean, listen, this is an issue that has been handed to the American people. This is about the American people. And it's our job to continue to investigate, to continue to expose, and to hold those people accountable, Sean. This is what we have to do. And just as easy as these people have been spreading lies and disinformation about President Trump and about this administration, it would be just as easy for them to do it about anyone else. Remember, they are only telling you lies. This is not the truth. The fact that they may have something on President Trump, that's a rumor, that is propaganda. It is not real. Don't listen to it. It's not a fact. There is no proof of any of this.
By the way, I mean, when Corker, Greg Jarrett, and John McCain, and Lindsey Graham, and Paul Ryan, I mean, there's such strong leaders that, you know, have been so supportive of the president on a consistent basis. And every anti-Trumper, never-Trumper, I just don't care anymore. You know what I care about? It's who I cared about during the election. Forgotten men and women that are now going back to work. I care about the economy. I care about energy independence. I care about America not getting into these ridiculous conflicts and then saying, oh, never mind, after thousands of Americans lose their lives and their limbs and are literally disfigured. You know what? I'm sick of it. These people have literally destroyed everything they touch. They have no strength. They have no leadership. They have no vision. They just suck. And you know what? Literally, they're only going to win in November only because Trump will carry them on their back.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a president who has certainly improved America's economy. He has isolated and neutered ISIS, and he is a man who has deregulated a great many in the industry that was counterproductive to American manufacturing and production. You know, this is a guy, and one of the refreshing things about him is that he doesn't back down from a fight. He could have picked somebody easier, more confirmable than his most recent Supreme Court nominee. But he felt like Brett Kavanaugh, is the perfect man for the job, an originalist, a textualist who will interpret the
Constitution. Here's what they stand for. They stand for their crumbs back, open borders, Obamacare, impeaching Trump, and stopping Kavanaugh. There's nothing to improve the life of any one American person.
Well, their idea is to tax you more.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, news roundup, information overload, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this program. It's 800-941-SEAN. He is the chief White House correspondent for the Fox News Channel and was with me when I was interviewing the president and saw everything go down today. Ed Henry is with us.
Hey, with you, Sean.
How are you?
Fantastic. It's been a great trip. And it's good to travel with you.
It is. Look, you were just talking to me earlier, mm-hmm. and you wanted the president to go at Putin publicly. And I'm sitting there thinking, from my perspective, we've got, let's see, Syrian refugees that are dying by the thousands daily almost. You got a major refugee. We got nuclear proliferation. We've got Islamic terrorism. You got the two biggest nuclear powers. And it doesn't surprise me, and I'm not putting you in this category, that so many people, why didn't he dress him down publicly?
I agree with you big picture. There were a lot bigger issues to deal with than election meddling. I don't fall into the mainstream media narrative, which you're right, has been falsely that the meeting should be all about election meddling. There are a lot bigger issues. You didn't mention Iran, which I know is important to you as well. Iran's funding of terror around the world. Russia could help there. And so this meeting was important and could be a positive step forward for the president. I also agree with you that, as the president mentioned, Hillary Clinton's deleted emails, the Peter Strzok testimony. There's a disaster on the left.
The missing server, the missing 33.
There's disasters on the left.
Right.
So the president, though, had, my point, had a golden opportunity to maybe shut down the negative media narrative and shut down all the other stuff by just saying, Vladimir Putin, you attacked us in 2016.
Right.
I don't like it, and you better not do it in 2018.
Here's what he didn't do it. You know, the thing is, here's what I want to know is we don't know what happened behind closed doors. They had bilateral.
He might have done it behind closed doors.
But in public
is what everyone's going to see.
In public, but I mean, I also think that there's such myopic, obsessive, compulsive, a double standard because, you know, go back to the original draft of the Comey struck exoneration of Hillary Clinton. If you go back to that one, they talked about five or six foreign intel services hacking into Hillary's email, secret, top secret, classified information on that server. It got pulled out of that as part of the effort, I believe, to cover for her and put the fix in for her.
I agree with you. She should be held accountable. I'm saying, Sean, is that why isn't the president also holding Vladimir Putin accountable? Because
why do you think he's not
the left
though? But Vladimir Putin said something profound.
I'm not
quoting Putin. Here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Putin's saying to Mueller, come to Russia.
Okay.
And by the way, and this is such a lie, and nobody's going to say this, but I will. But, everybody, and Rand Paul said, and I'm going to say this in my opening monologue tonight, that they do it to us, we do it to them. It's a game. It's called cyber warfare. And Barack Obama tried to impact the elections in Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East.
Correct.
And spent State Department
also,
dollars to do
I'll take it a step further and agree with you, Sean, that Barack Obama did maybe nothing or virtually nothing to stop the Russians in 2016. He was president, not Donald Trump. All I'm saying is, when you ask, how do I know that Donald Trump didn't do enough? Because himself, he said at the news conference, the president today, that his own director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, told him the Russians attacked us in 2016. But the president said, Vladimir Putin told me, no, that's not true. Who am I to believe? That's where I think he made a mistake. This president, rightly so, has done this trip as an America first trip. He's standing up for America. So why didn't he stand up for his own director of national intelligence?
I actually don't. At this particular point in time, I honestly believe there's no way that didn't come up. It obviously did come up. Putin was outraged that and expressed, I'd never do it. I never did do it. But, you know, it's sort of like when Mueller indicted these 12 guys last week. Like, this is the biggest thing. Let me tell you something. If they ever indicted American CIA operatives that are on the ground in Russia, and it's a fact, or if they're in the United States, we're never sending them over for a trial. Look, I take it this way. I actually think there comes a point where it's shame. You literally can say shame on you, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. But after 30 years since like Julian Assange hacked into NASA and hacked into the DOD, and it's 30 years later.
To beef it up. We're not doing enough.
Well, wait a minute. We have 250,000 cyber, employees, and are we saying we can't stop them? Why haven't we stopped them? Now, I'll go back to Obama. What did he do in the 8 years? Let me quote Obama 2 weeks before the 2016 election. No serious person out there would suggest that somehow you could even literally rig America's elections because it's so decentralized and the number of votes involved. There's no evidence it happened in the past or instances in which it will happen this time. I'd invite Mr. Trump to stop whining and to go make the case to get votes.
I agree with you.
And we were hacked in 08.
Democrats are being hypocrites because Barack Obama said that.
Bingo.
And now they're holding it up. Here's the other thing I'll agree with you on, which is, as a straight reporter, I will tell you that I think there is no evidence of collusion, number one. And number two, There's no evidence that a single vote by Russian cyber warfare
just
was
the opposite.
And in fact, there's no evidence that Donald Trump did not win fair and square. Okay, so I agree with you on all that. All
you I understand what you're saying. You wanted him to take. You wanted him to do it publicly.
Cut it out. Mm-hmm. I'm standing up for America. Hey, the president wasn't shy about standing up to Angela Merkel over the pipeline, which is a legitimate issue at NATO, and called out an ally. He did it. He did it private, but you know what? He did it in public too, Sean. He did that for a reason. The president called out Merkel because when he did it publicly, it shamed her. He didn't do that to Putin.
The only thing I would say is, I think it's an even bigger shot that nobody really paid attention to. And to me, it's when the president basically did call out Merkel on her growing dependence on Russian energy, which is the lifeblood of any economy. And it's going to be up to 70%. It's
critical of her to attack America over Russia when she's dependent upon Russia for energy.
But here's the deal.
Right.
What President Trump was really saying there, come to America, we'll give you all the energy you need. And by the way, that would not only destroy the Russian economy, it would destroy Vladimir Putin's career, because that is the lifeblood. That is it. It is gas. It is energy, without which Russia dies literally economically. So maybe it's just an interpretation.
No matter what the president said today, I'll agree with you on something else. The left wouldn't be satisfied. They would still say Russia stole the election. I agree with you. But I'm saying the president had an opportunity.
You made your point 10 times. I got it. I got your point. You know, the funny thing is, I liked the president when he tweeted out before he even got here, headed to Helsinki, Finland, looking forward to meeting with President Putin tomorrow. Unfortunately, no matter how well I do at the summit, if I was given the great city of Moscow as retribution for all the sins and evils committed by Russia over the years, I would return to criticism that it wasn't good enough, that I should have gotten St. Petersburg in addition. And this is where, I did ask him. I had the interview with him right after he had the joint press conference. Much of the news media is indeed the enemy of the people. And I asked him specifically what he meant by that. And it's, if you're lying to the American people and you don't tell them the truth, and the media has not been honest about any of the issues, everything that we've reported on this show and on Hannity, the TV show, has been proven correct. And give me one bit of evidence.
The media
of Trump
will not
Russian
give
collusion.
Them a break on any of this. I get that. And they also will continue to claim there's collusion. They'll largely continue to claim that the Russians delivered the White House for Donald Trump. And that's not true.
How does Brennan get away with saying it's treason? The guy that voted for the Communist Party leader.
John Brennan has lost it. John Brennan went way over the top to say it was high crimes and misdemeanors, this news conference. All I'm saying, I'm not agreeing with him. I'm saying that it was a missed opportunity for the president. That's a lot different than saying it's treason. And by the way, I think I know why John Brennan is attacking the president. It's not the first time he's tweeted an attack. It's because he's nervous about what we talked about a moment ago, about the Obama administration doing nothing. And he's nervous about
who's his watch,
about the FISA warrants that were signed off on by
Absolutely.
Top people at the FBI and the CIA that he just used to run.
If the so-called Putin stooge Donald Trump killed 200 Russian soldiers in a Syrian airstrike, and Nancy Pelosi goes out there and says he has something on Donald Trump, I think we would have learned by now whatever they had, or it would have been far more obvious than it is.
Yeah.
I do think there are bigger issues, more important issues. But, you know, the one thing that I have learned in all of this is it doesn't matter what the media says anymore. Every attack, every bit of unfairness that they show the president, it doesn't work. Everything comes back and helps the president in the long run. And that, to me, is the amazing. At some point, the American people have a certain degree of fairness.
Yeah. And you know what's unfair? The New York Times had a story today before the summit started that said Vladimir Putin's already won just by taking the stage. So how do you operate in that environment
when
New York Times is saying Putin's already won before anybody's even had a handshake?
So they got this little video. I'll show it on Hannity tonight. It's President Trump and Vladimir Putin, the love story. This is before it happened. We played all the media, you know, and what they say. The bottom line is, I actually think at this point, if Donald Trump cured cancer and gave every American $10 million, they'd still hate him. And I'm just sitting here and I'm just looking at it. And I'm just, at this point, it's laughable. Because if there was really evidence by now, it would have been out.
Yeah, and the media is unfair, largely, but
I'm winning saying, you over.
So. No,
you going to repeat the same point for the 50th time?
What
I heard
I'm
you.
Saying
what
is
I'm
he
saying
had
is
an
he had an opportunity. He should have set it by, you know, he should have dressed them down. Forget about Syrian refugees that are dying. Forget about nuclear proliferation and radical Islamic terrorism. He should have said it there.
Oh, by the way, Did he get a deal on Syria? No. Did he get a deal on Iran? I think the president.
What were your expectations?
I don't know. I'm not setting the expectations. But with the summit in Singapore, he got an agreement of some kind on denuclearization. Now, maybe this is
there was
a different
never
summit.
Any expectations that there would be any agreement. But you know something? The president said to me in this interview that I'll air tonight, he goes, it was never this bad. And it's all because of the Trump-Russia narrative. And I, if you want me to give you my insight of what I think it is, and I don't know because I wasn't in the room with them. My guess is it was such a sensitive matter that at this point, the president saw big picture. That's my take. But, you know,
and
we'll
he may win out over time if he's able to cut other deals with Putin down the road. But if he's not able to cut deals on Iran and Syria and other big issues that you pointed out, today will be seen, I think, as a missed opportunity.
So how much hell do you take as a reporter in Washington for actually pretending that you like me?
I don't have to pretend.
No, I want to know
actually
how much,
like you.
How
we
much
can have a spirited discussion and not dislike each other. And your audience needs to know that when we travel together, reporters, producers, we have the best time.
We
do. You're the most generous person. You buy everybody dinner. Nobody out there knows that everybody thinks Hannity's a Scrooge.
You know what? You're ruining.
You're a good man. I'm going to ruin your reputation so you're a good
totally
guy.
You're totally ruining. This is a funny story. I guess you and I guess the Fox and Friends crew were talking
Eric
about.
And I were talking about you
right.
Leaving a big tip.
Okay.
And one of the papers here went crazy with it.
The big paper in town, apparently it's not the custom in Finland to tip.
A lot of people don't leave a tip at all. Or if they do, it's a small tip. You left a giant tip.
I do all the time. Look, I'm a dishwasher, Ed. I'm a dishwasher. I'm a cook, a busboy, waiter, bartender. And that was 10 years of my life.
What did the waitress say when she read it?
No, first she goes to people that were in. You were part of it. It was like 20 people at this dinner. And she goes up to other people in the party and literally says, I think he made a mistake. And then everyone started laughing and said, no, that's what he does all the time. But because you know why? Because I lived that life.
And it made the biggest, it was the front page story of the biggest newspaper
in Helsinki. Isn't that nuts? It's so nuts.
You talk about these other big issues, Hannity's tip breaks through over Iran and Syria.
Yeah, seriously, right? I mean, how dumb is that?
No, that's nice work, Sean. Good job on the interview.
Well, stay right there. We're going to continue a couple more minutes with Ed Henry as our news roundup information overload hour continues. All right, as we continue, the Sean Hannity Show in Helsinki in Finland. President Trump, right after his press conference, joint presser with Vladimir Putin on Hannity tonight. Then we'll have full coverage. Ed's going to be joining us as well, as long as Sarah Carter and Daniel Hoffman and Sebastian Gorka. As you assess politically everything that has happened, you know, I look at the Democrats, and I'm just asking you to look at it objectively because I know you want to be a reporter, which is I could never do your job. Here's how I look at 2018, which I think is the most important midterm. I think Bannon's right. The Democrats want a redo of 2016. The agenda is pretty simple. They want to impeach Trump, but they're telling people like Maxine, just don't say it publicly. They want to open borders. They want to keep Obamacare. Nancy Pelosi says openly she wants the crumbs back. She wants the tax cut back.
The tax cuts, yep.
Yeah, and they don't want the president to make a Supreme Court choice. Can you think of objectively one thing Democrats are advocating for that'll make the lives of the American people better?
Not really. In fact, it feeds into our last segment when we were talking about Russia. Part of the reason why I think the president didn't want to lean in against Putin about interference is that he thinks it then feeds a false narrative about Russia swinging the election to him, because all the Democrats have largely talked about for a year and a half or more has been resist, resist, resist.
Is there any evidence of any collusion that you've seen?
Evidence of collusion? There's no evidence of obstruction of justice. And as I said earlier, as an objective reporter that I try to be, there's no evidence that Russian interference swung the election.
So when the president
we
today,
should say that.
No. And it's been proven over and over again, report after report after report. So when the president talks about, well, why didn't the FBI get the DNC servers? And then you look at the corruption at the upper levels of the FBI, not rank and file, but Strzok and Page and Comey and
McCabe
and others. And then you look at an exoneration before an investigation. That's not usual.
Absolutely.
Protocol
it's
of the
not.
FBI. And the president says today, well, why don't we look at these things? I'm just thinking after 18 months of nonstop lies, he's had it.
Here's where the president has an opportunity in the midterms. When you talk about the tax cuts and the cutting of regulations, you have the Atlanta Fed now predicting we're going to be at 4.5%.
Isn't that crazy?
Growth. No one predicted that on the Trump side or the Democratic side, certainly not the Democratic side, but even the best Trump advisors never predicted we'd be at 4.5% growth already this early
Nuts.
In the administration. That's a good
last
case.
Thing. Barack Obama, only president in history that never made 3% GDP in his presidency for a year.
And now look at what he's doing, the president, with this pick with Brett Kavanaugh. He has an opportunity to reshape the court.
Yeah, transformational. I think we'll look back on it and see it. Ed Henry, we'll see you on Hannity looking tonight. The president joins us as well. We'll continue from Finland. It's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. So right after this press conference, you know, this is what I love about the American people. The American people are just brilliant. The American people have been fed lies by a corrupt media. I'll give you one example. Fake news, CNN. This is outrageous. Feigning moral outrage because Donald Trump prioritized nuclear proliferation, radical Islamic terrorism in Syria, refugees, and maybe hitting a reset button because things have gotten so bad with Russia. And the issue of meddling interference was also discussed. And I'm just watching it and I'm thinking they never learn. 3 years of failure. So I want to play this from earlier today. The president with Vladimir Putin. And we'll come back on the other side. And President Trump joins us 9 Eastern on Hannity tonight from Helsinki.
I have just concluded a meeting with President Putin on a wide range of critical issues for both of our countries. We had direct, open, deeply productive dialogue. Went very well. Before I begin, I want to thank President Niinistö of Finland for graciously hosting today's summit. President Putin and I were saying how lovely it was and what a great job they did. I also want to congratulate Russia and President Putin for having done such an excellent job in hosting the World Cup. It was really one of the best ever, and your team also did very well. It was a great job. I'm here today to continue the proud tradition of bold American diplomacy. From the earliest days of our republic, American leaders have understood that diplomacy and engagement is preferable to conflict and hostility. A productive dialogue is not only good for the United States and good for Russia, but it is good for the world. The disagreements between our two countries are well known, and President Putin and I discussed them at length today. But if we're going to solve many of the problems facing our world, then we're going to have to find ways to cooperate in pursuit of shared interests. Too often in both recent past and long ago, we have seen the consequences when diplomacy is left on the table. We have also seen the benefits of cooperation. In the last century, our nations fought alongside one another in the Second World War. Even during the tensions of the Cold War, when the world looked much different than it does today, the United States and Russia were able to maintain a strong dialogue. But our relationship has never been worse than it is now. However, that changed as of about 4 hours ago. I really believe that. Nothing would be easier politically than to refuse to meet, to refuse to engage, but that would not accomplish anything. As president, I cannot make decisions on foreign policy in a futile effort to appease partisan critics or the media or Democrats who want to do nothing but resist and obstruct. Constructive dialogue between the United States and Russia afforded the opportunity to open new pathways toward peace and stability in our world. I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than to risk peace in pursuit of politics. As president, I will always put what is best for America and what is best for the American people. During today's meeting, I addressed directly with President Putin the issue of Russian interference in our elections. I felt this was a message best delivered in person, spent a great deal of time talking about it, and President Putin may very well want to address it and very strongly, because he feels very strongly about it, and he has an interesting idea. We also discussed one of the most critical challenges facing humanity, nuclear proliferation. I provided an update on my meeting last month with Chairman Kim on the denuclearization of North Korea, and after today, I am very sure that President Putin and Russia want very much to end that problem, going to work with us, and I appreciate that commitment. The President and I also discussed the scourge of radical Islamic terrorism. Both Russia and the United States have suffered horrific terrorist attacks, and we have agreed to maintain open communication between our security agencies to protect our citizens from this global menace. Last year, we told Russia about a planned attack in St. Petersburg, and they were able to stop it cold. They found them. They stopped them. There was no doubt about it. I appreciated President Putin's phone call afterwards to thank me. I also emphasized the importance of placing pressure on Iran to halt its nuclear ambitions and to stop its campaign of violence throughout the area, throughout the Middle East. As we discussed at length, the crisis in Syria is a complex one. Cooperation between our two countries has the potential to save hundreds of thousands of lives. I also made clear that the United States will not allow Iran to benefit from our successful campaign against ISIS. We have just about eradicated ISIS in the area. We also agreed that representatives from our national security councils will meet to follow up on all of the issues we addressed today and to continue the progress we have started right here in Helsinki. Today's meeting is only the beginning of a longer process, but we have taken the first steps toward a brighter future and one with a strong dialogue and a lot of thought. Our expectations are grounded in realism, but our hopes are grounded in America's desire for friendship, cooperation, and peace. And I think I can speak on behalf of Russia when I say that also. President Putin, I want to thank you again for joining me for these important discussions and for advancing open dialogue between Russia and the United States. Our meeting carries on a long tradition of diplomacy between Russia, the United States, for the greater good of all. And this was a very constructive day. This was a very constructive few hours that we spent together. It's in the interest of both of our countries to continue our conversation, and we have agreed to do so. I'm sure we'll be meeting again in the future, often. And hopefully we will solve every one of the problems that we discussed today. So, again, President Putin, thank you very much.
Mr. President, you tweeted this morning that it's U.S. foolishness, stupidity, and the Mueller probe that is responsible for the decline in U.S. relations with Russia. Do you hold Russia at all accountable for anything in particular? And if so, what would you consider them that they are responsible for?
Yes, I do. I hold both countries responsible. I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. We should have had this dialogue a long time ago, a long time, frankly, before I got to office. And I think we're all to blame. I think that the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do some great things, whether it's nuclear proliferation in terms of stopping, because we have to do it. Ultimately, that's probably the most important thing that we can be working on. But I do feel that we have both made some mistakes. I think that the probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it. People are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign. And they're going to have to try really hard to find somebody that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign. I beat Hillary Clinton easily. And frankly, We beat her. And I'm not even saying from the standpoint, we won that race. And it's a shame that there can even be a little bit of a cloud over it. People know that. People understand it. But the main thing, and we discussed this also, is zero collusion. And it has had a negative impact upon the relationship of the two largest nuclear powers in the world. And frankly, I'm going to let the president speak to the second part of your question. But just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign. But to the average reader out there, they're saying, well, maybe that does. It doesn't. And even the people involved, some perhaps told misstories, although in one case the FBI said there was no lie. There was no lie. Somebody else said there was. We ran a brilliant campaign, and that's why I'm president.
Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know, where is the server, and what is the server saying? With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties. I really believe that this will probably go on for a while, but I don't think it can go on without finding out what happened to the server. What happened to the servers of the Pakistani gentleman that worked on the DNC? Where are those servers? They're missing. Where are they? What happened to Hillary Clinton's emails? 33,000 emails, gone, just gone. I think in Russia they wouldn't be gone so easily. I think it's a disgrace that we can't get Hillary Clinton's 33,000 emails. So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer. I have to say, if they had it, it would have been out long ago. And if anybody watched Peter Strzok testify over the last couple of days, and I was in Brussels watching it, it was a disgrace to the FBI. It was a disgrace to our country. And you would say that was a total witch hunt.
You know, this is where I give the American people all the credit. The American people are smarter than the media. I've watched the reaction, even among weak Republicans. You know what? The Republican Party, right now, if they had their way, would get what they'd be getting slaughtered in the midterm elections because they're weak, they're feckless, they're spineless, they're gutless, they lack vision. The only reason they're even in the game is because Donald Trump fought and kept his promises. That's the only reason, whatever losses they may have, they only have themselves to blame. And of course, all they want to do is jump on the bandwagon because they want to be liked by the news media. I'll never be a Republican again, ever. No respect for that party. All right, from Helsinki, don't forget Donald Trump tonight, exclusive interview, 9 Eastern from Helsinki, Finland. All right, that's going to wrap things up from Helsinki today. Thank you for being with us. I want to remind you, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. It's 4 a.m. actually, Helsinki time. But the sun doesn't set at this time of year. Land of the midnight sun and then some. It's unbelievable. You don't get, no darkness. It's insanity. And then at other parts of the year, all you have is darkness. So Hannity tonight, it's going to be 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. My exclusive interview with the president as he has his big summit with Vladimir Putin today. We'll have all the details. And you know what? He's going to take on, let him respond to this insanity himself, of the media, the insanity, the destroy Trump media, Republicans, weak, feckless, pathetic. You know, to think that we have to actually vote with some of these rhinos to prevent Democrats from getting power, it literally makes me want to vomit over half of them. Anyway, we'll have Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, Fox News from Helsinki, back in New York tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow.